Welcome to PostStatus Draft, the official podcast for PostStatus, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Joe and I discuss all things WordPress.org, from who owns it, who works on it, and its many moving parts. It's an interesting and complex website, and we break it down as best as we can. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the PostStatus Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining more than 650 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature one of our partners, Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms makes the best web forms on the planet. Over a million WordPress websites are already using Gravity Forms. Is yours? For more information on Gravity Forms, go to gravityforms.com, and thank you to the Gravity Forms team for being a PostStatus partner. Now, here's our show. Hey, everybody. I'm Brian, and I'm the editor of PostStatus.
And I'm Joe, a co-founder and the CTO of HumorMade. And welcome to the PostStatus Draft Podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing everything we know about WordPress.org.
It is a large website, and I have had some people say before that they thought it was confusing in regards to what all is involved with WordPress.org and what's going on, who owns it, the different sections. So I thought it'd be fun today to literally walk through the different sections of WordPress.org and talk about some of the minutiae of the different things around it. So that's cool. The goal. And I think if this sounds incredibly boring, I think you actually might be surprised. There are some interesting components to it.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with that initial question of who owns WordPress.org. I want to clarify one other thing too. In the newsletter and, you know, just stuff that I write about WordPress broadly, I would say things relating to WordPress.org in some shape or fashion ends up being, I would guess, 15 to 20% of the stuff that I write about. So, obviously, the website is incredibly influential on the project. So I think it's worth educating ourselves about it. So WordPress.org is owned specifically by Matt Mullenweg. And there's this...
Was it in the domain name or the whole website?
Through a company. It's not really important, but it's called Mobius Limited. MobiusTLD.com is actually where the who is for WordPress.org points to. But the Mobius website says Mobius LTD is Matt Mullenweg.
so we can say WordPress.org is Matt Mullenweg, therefore.
Yeah. So you can safely say WordPress.org is owned by Matt Mullenweg. It is important to note that does not mean WordPress.org is owned by Automattic. It also does not mean WordPress.org is owned by the WordPress Foundation or some other broad community component. It is the individual Matt Mullenweg. He obviously has many roles that he takes in the WordPress world as CEO of Automattic, as the primary person behind the WordPress Foundation, which is a nonprofit entity that maintains the WordPress trademarks and also manages a lot of stuff that's has a lot of logistical stuff behind it, like WordCamp and stuff like that, where all that stuff funnels. WordPress.org, however, is specifically Matt's project. So at the end of the day, Matt has complete control over the website, and it's a big website. There's no community necessity that people download WordPress from WordPress.org or anything like that. So, you know, in fact, I think originally it was available on SourceForge or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess there's mirrors out there. Like, there's nothing to stop you hosting a copy of WordPress for people to download elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And according to Alexa, WordPress.org is number 294 in the world. So it's
pretty high.
It's very high and probably gets a ton of traffic. It's a significant thing, and there's lots of subdomains and all that kind of stuff that, you know, are worth thinking about. So with that said, let's talk about what WordPress.org, the website, prioritizes in terms of what you see when you go there.
I'm trying to load it up now. I kind of should have had it already loaded. Okay, here it is. In fairness, I was on a subsection already. So
actually, there's one more thing that's that I want to note before we talk about the specific parts, and that's who works on it. So Matt obviously can't maintain this entire website on his own.
By himself.
There's dozens of moving parts. And it's kind of threefold in terms of who works on it. There are people that work for Audrey, which is one of Matt's personal companies. It's kind of the investing arm. But there are a couple of people on Audrey that work full-time on WordPress.org stuff. Scott Riley and Otto Wood are probably primary from that. I know when I worked on a WordPress.org project, I worked with Otto a little bit on that. And then I would say the other person that's very influential on WordPress.org is Sam Sidler. And Sam moved from Audrey to Automattic. And I think he leads essentially what's the WordPress.org team at Automattic.
Okay, interesting.
And I'm pretty sure the team of people at Automattic, they're fully team-based. So like they have teams within Jetpack and they have, you know, the whole Woo crew is a big team with sub-teams. They have teams on all these different parts of what they do, mobile team and everything else. The Calypso team, the tinkering team, all these things. They have a team for WordPress.org stuff. I think it's like 8 people I saw that Constantine Obenland mentioned in a podcast that he did that work on WordPress.org. I know Constantine and Sam Sidler both work on it in different ways. And
is there anybody that is part of the, I guess like not part of any of Matt's companies? Like is there any, I guess there's a lot of contributors to WordPress.org that are not tied to those, but yeah, whether they have that's so kind much of the control.
Yeah, that's kind of the third arm. So there's Audrey people, there's Automattic people, and then there's community people. And there's also, I mean, some other companies contribute a good bit, like in terms of the people that work for them, most of their contributions may go towards WordPress.org centric projects. Matt actually said in one of the chapters on the Milestones book that Siobhan wrote, he actually talked about how he kind of envisioned WordPress itself. He says WordPress.org, but he's really referencing WordPress broadly. But his goal was to have, you know, several people from Audrey, several people from Automattic, and then hopefully like hosts or other large companies to each have people that would contribute to. He said WordPress.org, but that's how he encompasses like WordPress, the downloadable software, as WordPress.org.
Right, yeah, or WordPress.org.
So I don't think there's full-time people that don't work for Matt that are full-time on WordPress.org. However, there are a lot of community initiatives where community members contribute. I've done one of those before, helping a little bit at least with the developer.wordpress.org landing page. You know, that was a pretty open process in terms of how that was done. So those are the three groups of people that do a lot of the work on it. I would say it seems to me like a lot of the, hey, let's redo this section or whatever, they're probably mostly led by Automattic employees who are enabled to spend their entire job working on this type of stuff.
Right.
And then they, you know, utilize community contributors who are passionate about particular sections, whether it's help or, you know, plugins or whatever. So that's who works on it. Thousands of hours per year go into this website. It does have a little bit of a disjointed nature.
Yeah, that was my impression. Like when I think of WordPress.org, I don't think of a really big, big entity, but I think that is because it's just split up into quite a lot of disparate parts.
Yeah, and we'll literally post what's kind of the equivalent of a sitemap in the show notes that I've kind of put together here as our ability to walk through this. So with that said, let's go through the different parts of the website, because it's fascinating actually what's prioritized. And I'd never think of it much because I go to this website 10 times or I don't know, sometimes 100 times a day. And it shocked me actually when I looked this morning and I was like, what's the first link on WordPress.org?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to tell you, actually.
Yeah,
For some reason, I presumed it would be a download button, but that's, I guess, on the right-hand side.
So. Yeah, it's the most prominent, and that's actually probably going to change. We'll get to that in a minute. But right now, the very first link on WordPress.org is the showcase. So this probably gets a ton of traffic, and I pay absolutely no attention to it.
Yes.
So when you go to the WordPress.org showcase, it's got featured business sites, recently added sites, and there's ratings where people vote on like how good of a WordPress site is this. And it just cracks me up. Like the first one listed, once you get beyond the slider, which is pretty miserable, the first one listed is the New York Times Company. So it kind of insinuates that all of the New York Times is on WordPress, which is hilarious.
Right.
Because it's not. It's just their blogs, which they're like axing left and right.
I've got a feeling this is turning into a
yeah, but you can, you know, it's got TechCrunch and other publishing companies, the Walt Disney Company. These change sometimes, but really not as frequently as you might think. Because I know when I click on these, like there's these sidebars of most votes of a site, and I Love Typography has 3,500 votes as like favorite site. I'm pretty sure that website has been the top voted one on the showcase for like 5 years.
It's specifically a simple voting algorithm. Count for time.
It's hard to determine really how active the showcase is, but nevertheless, the showcase is there. I'm sure there's some degree of maintenance that's done on it. It's not very
responsive. The rules around submitting things there? I know there is some.
I mean, it's just there's some criteria when you go to the submit a site link, but it's just a form that you fill out, and then I'm sure someone puts their eyes on it before it gets approved. My guess would be that the sites that people submit are just totally random, like people that happen to go to WordPress.org and then are like, man, I want to see my site on here.
Yeah, no, I think it is a lot of that. There must be a lot of long tail, just like random little websites. I mean, I seem to remember submitting my own way back in the day when, you know, I was learning and probably proud of the first website that I put out. It's like, yeah, I'm going to get it on here.
So yeah, I'm going to have
obviously no one else cared about it except for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure some more out about that. All right, so let's get past that because there's way more to talk about. That's just a funny one because it's a classic example of something that's pretty complex, quite featured, and by the, I guess, people that are really familiar with the WordPress community, probably completely ignored. Mm-hmm. Not the only section of the website to be like that. So let's go to
this. Before we move on, I just saw this thing called Flavor, which is, so any of the websites can either be WordPress.org, WordPress.com, WordPress.com VIP, multi-site, or BuddyPress. That's like the categorizing. So I guess there's WordPress.com sites on here as well.
Yeah, there's WordPress.com sites and definitely VIP sites like 538's on there and stuff. But yeah, there's filters and you can do all sorts of stuff with it. I mean, there's a lot of data there. It's pretty interesting. I think it's just one of those things, like many parts of WordPress.org, where despite having a large number of people working on it, you know, there's not enough to keep all of these things fresh forever. So the theme directory is probably appropriately the second nav item, and the theme directory's had a lot of work done to it over the last couple of years. There was a feature project that involved revamping what the landing page looked like and what the individual theme pages look like and what, you know, the stuff you can do, the stuff that's shown.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Super fast as well. I'm guessing this isn't WordPress because it seems way too fast.
It is WordPress, but it's JavaScript driven once you...
Oh, I see.
Once you land.
Doing it.
Yeah, so it's got featured popular latest. You can do filters. The tags for WordPress themes just were approved to get changes, so the filters should probably get better than, you know, like whether the theme is tan or silver or purple or pink.
The first thing that I look for with a theme, I mean, presumably you can change colors on this anyway.
Yeah. The so that's interesting. The featured theme component of it is random. That's been a very controversial thing over the years, because at one point featured themes were potentially based on like reviewers, and they had the ability to feature themes based on what they'd reviewed. So like theme developers would review themes with the intent of being able to feature their theme or whatever. Popular themes are obviously listed, and the default themes are by far the most popular, but other ones get in there, and this is definitely a scenario where the rich get richer and people can have upsells in their themes. So there's a lot of regulation that's had to happen over the years as people like figure out ways to kind of game.org to for commercial gain.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of set people straight if they go beyond where they should go. And the commercial
there's
theme
also a way to preview all of the themes then. So I guess are they hosting those? How does that even work? I have no idea.
So this is Otto's baby. And when you press preview, you go into a customizer-like experience, which this has been a common issue because it's not a proper demo, and you don't really see the theme with its full potential. It goes
that isn't actually the customizer. That's like a...
Yeah, it's just like a JavaScript like panel.
Right.
But what you're seeing is default content. Like, I'm assuming most people remember this boat picture that's on all of them, that Matt probably took or found 10 years ago. But yeah, when you see the preview of the theme, you're actually seeing just this default content that really doesn't show the potential of a theme that, say, does e-commerce or like a corporate design. And that's one of the things that people have gamed over the years with this, is like creating default content to show up on home.php that is more businessy. And it's been extremely successful for the companies that did that.
Wow.
Like, it's just one of those things that seems like a small thing that, like, when you hit the preview button, you see a nicer theme than the worth a thousand words boat post.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, so that's had a lot going on over the years, but there's a list of themes there. During that project, commercial themes is a link that historically was fairly visible, and it got a little bit of a demotion. I need to look up to see how much that affected people. But amazingly, this is a pretty significant lead-in for commercial theme entities. I know some of these companies... Because when you go to commercial themes, it's just a list with the name of the company, a screenshot, and it goes straight to their website. This was a big lead generator for a lot of those companies. So the demotion of commercial themes was a point of debate. But that's the theme directory. We got to go faster.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at time. I was like, 25 in. We've only gone through two.
Yeah, it might be a two-parter if we get behind. So then there's, you know, the plugin directory. This is an active project right now. And by the way, most of these projects, and we'll get to Make WordPress, but if you go to make.wordpress.org/meta, then that's wordpress.org projects. And the plugin directory redesign is probably the most significant project going on right now. And the team is working on redesigning the landing page for the plugin directory, as well as the single pages for plugins, which is probably the most viewed template on WordPress.org, if I had to guess. So like the individual landing pages for plugins is under review, and they're updating it, trying to decide what's the important data to put there. So super significant.
I think it's like a ground up rewrite as well under the hood.
Yeah, under the hood, it's definitely a rewrite. The technology that this uses is,
it's
anything you would ever expect.
So Dion did a walkthrough of it at a WordCamp Sunshine Coast that I saw a couple of weeks ago, and it's essentially just it's a WordPress site, or it's part of the WordPress site, and there's a custom post type plugins, and it's just a standard custom post type with a bunch of additional meta stuff.
Yeah. For some reason, the plugins pages don't trigger my WAPalyzer, my little extension for determining CMS. It doesn't trigger WordPress.
No, I'm not. I think the actual WordPress.org main site and nav and things isn't WordPress.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is? Like, is in the homepage of WordPress.org?
Yeah.
Huh.
It is. It is now. May not have been. Right. I know one thing is there's this like include stuff like to get the header and footer globally that is a pain to work with if you're ever working on the project. But I'm pretty sure that global header and footer triggers domain extensions for the showing that it's built with WordPress, even if the stuff inside isn't always exactly WordPress.
You're right.
It's complicated. Developing WordPress.org stuff is complicated for sure. But the plugins repo is probably the most common place people go on WordPress.org, if I had to guess. There are 45,000 plugins there. It's just a staggering amount of content under this one section. The mobile section is next. It's maybe one of the more depressing sections because it's just links to WordPress for iOS and WordPress for Android. And they link to apps.wordpress.org, which then redirects to apps.wordpress.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, one of the most popular sections goes to a WordPress.com landing page, which is beautiful, but very WordPress.com-ish. The WordPress apps are...
It's a bit bait and switch.
Yeah, the WordPress apps, for good or bad, are pretty much fully automatic projects. I mean, they're mostly open source, kind of, but there's a lot of WordPress.com specific components like stats and stuff that are in the apps. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. But it's kind of the only option right now. There have been some decent apps for posting through self-hosted WordPress sites in the past, but Automattic has acquired the only one that I know of that ever had.
I was about to say the same.
You know, but anyway, so that's interesting. Maybe there'll be more apps that pop up, and those can pop up. You know, those can go in this mobile section in the future. I guess this one might the next one might compete with the plugins page in terms of popularity, but the support the support tabs. It has both forums and documentation, but the forums have millions of pieces of content. It looks like...
Wow, look at that. That is crazy. So yeah. There is... I can't... Even the numbers are kind of...
The numbers squish.
It's like 33 million posts in the plugins and hacks forum.
I think that's what it says. No, it's 3,591,000.
Oh, it's just running into the number before it.
Yeah, it's okay. So squished because it wasn't built for millions.
Exactly.
But there's just rough counting here. It looks like there's probably close to 7-8 million posts in the forums.
That is crazy.
Just roughly adding up across the dozen or however many forums there are. There are people that spend many hours per day helping in this section, and it does not get near the attention it should in terms of giving those people credit. But it's amazing what people are doing in support in terms of responding.
Yeah, I agree. It's something that I personally have really struggled to have energy for, and I can't, enough the people that put that amount
just
of time
the,
into
the okay. First page of like whatever it is, 30 topics or so on the plugins and hacks, which is super old school. Plugins and hacks.
Wow, that goes to 10 minutes.
10 minutes of coverage in the last 30 minutes. And it paginates 35,000 times. it's incredible.
It's insane.
So every 10 minutes, this page fills up. And that is accurate going back for the past four pages, only 41 minutes. So yeah, 10 minutes per page of topics that are listed there. And they get replies. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible what happens on the forums. And then... the documentation sublink of support goes to codex.wordpress.org, which is far and away the most extensive documentation component for WordPress. Yet, at the same time, it's kind of going away. Not every component, but the codex is a wiki. And if you log in, you can edit and see the history of the codex. More and more, though, especially function stuff, and things like that are moving from Codex pages to pages within developer.wordpress.org. So that was a project from
So is the new developer site superseding the Codex, essentially? Is that the best way to look at that?
It's superseding the Codex in terms of code reference. So there's under developer.wordpress.org/reference, there's now a search and then like a full automated listing of functions, hooks, classes, and methods where, you know, you can search and find one, and it has a code reference where it shows the source file, how to view it on track, it shows the parameters that's auto-generated from the source code. So it helps keep it better up to date versus the Codex. Because like if something has changed in WordPress 4.5, it's going to pick it up automatically based on the documentation of the source code. And then there's a part of it that has user-contributed notes, almost like a comment on the function that is meant to replace what the Codex was before that had like examples and stuff. Right. Because a lot of those Codex pages had bad examples or like vulnerable examples that were there for years.
Yeah, I do remember seeing good amount of
a lot of copy pasta. I think the Codex pages that are going to stick around are like these landing pages for like theme development. And it's like this huge, you know, 40 part thing for like what to think about when you're developing your themes. There's not really a place on developer.wordpress.org yet that takes the place of that. Kind of the handbooks can, but nevertheless, the Codex still plays a huge part. However, you'll notice over time, if you go to them all the time, is that every now and then you'll hit a Codex page you've been to 100 times and it'll 301 to the developer.wordpress.org page. And they're doing that.
Somebody's done it. Okay.
Yep, they're 301ing those as they get fleshed out within the new site. So the goal is for the Codex to kind of be reduced in its importance.
All right. Anecdotally, I didn't come across developer.wordpress.org very much.
You're probably like, referencing things more directly versus in search. It's showing up more in Google search for sure.
I see. Okay, yeah, it could be that. It's usually like I happen to know the Codex page or whatever, so I'm just going to it.
Right. So yeah, that's a interesting space. Get involved is the title of the next tab, but that goes to the part of WordPress.org I talk about the most, because this is make.wordpress.org, which is where the sausage is made. For the most part, in terms of WordPress, the project. The page itself is just a listing of a dozen or however many teams in terms of, it lists P2 blogs. So P2 is a theme that's meant for discussion and comments. But make.wordpress.org/core, for instance, is the first one. These blogs, and this is part of a multi-site install, these blogs are where the canonical updates are listed for what's been going on. So sometimes it's just summaries of Slack chats, which is where the live conversation happens, and then the information goes into these blog updates, and then people get those into their RSS feeds and wherever else and are able to comment and have discussions around parts of WordPress. So
this is probably where I spend most of my time on the whole WordPress.org.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, the make.wordpress.org page doesn't really have a great network-wide like curation of what's happening. So you have to be pretty involved with each individual blog in order to see the updates. But most people are. Most people that are going to contribute to WordPress, like they're specifically interested in documentation or themes or whatever. Polyglots, something like that. But there are, there are pages for all sorts of things under that, or P2s under that. And then each P2 has its own hierarchy of sorts. So like the Make WordPress Core one, for instance, then has links off to the core handbook for contributing to core, a components page that shows who builds what, a link to track, which we'll get to in a little bit, things like that.
I never noticed those there. Learning all sorts.
Yeah. The about page is next, which is one of the most useful pages, also one of the most infuriating, because it's pretty consistently out of date. Now, I mean, the about page, the context itself is good because it has a little history about the site, you know, what you can do with WordPress. But it also, there are a lot of sublinks on the about WordPress page to other parts of the site. And more importantly, I think the people that participate in WordPress and the people portion is consistently inaccurate. The lead developers are accurate. It shows the six lead developers: Helen, Dion, Mark, Matt, Andrew, and Andrew. But the other stuff, like design, contributing developers, documentation.
Yeah, I'm wondering where does this list even come from? Is it just like this was one point in time?
This is a snapshot in time, basically, that's okay. Not up to date. There's a codex page that has a better, more accurate listing of who's an active contributor. And that's why it's kind of annoying, because there's a codex, it's a core team page, which now says it's been replaced and it's now a page in the core contributor handbook. So you have to go about four different places to find the actual contributing developers and core developers and all that kind of stuff. People with commit, the hierarchy of WordPress software decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The other fun stuff about the about page is there's these sub pages for requirements, which is, you know, PHP, MySQL requirements. You can find features, security information, testimonials is an interesting new page, which basically shows tweets that Matt picks that have like I love WP hashtags.
Took quite a while for it to load. So this is just tweets? I see.
Yep, tweets and a couple of pages from OEmbed. The WordPress history book is listed here. Other books about WordPress are listed here. This is another one of those ones where everyone that's ever written a book about WordPress would love to be listed in this.
How does this work then? How do you get it? Yeah,
it's through Matt. You got to get Matt to somehow discover your book and have time to list it.
My latest book is from 2013, so it's not a good sign.
Yeah, it takes a while for those types of things. It links to the swag page, which ends up on a subdomain, mercantile.wordpress.org, which is the WordPress swag store. Selling WordPress swag, because this is trademarked through the foundation, you have to get permission from Matt Mullenweg in order to make swag with WordPress if you're ever going to do anything with it. You can't make money if you're going to do, you know, sell swag or anything like that. But even if you're giving away company swag, you're supposed to get permission to use the logo.
So who manages the whole swag store and everything?
The swag store is managed by, I believe, someone at Automatic. Or that works for Matt directly somehow. I'm not exactly sure who that person is, but I think there's someone at Automatic or maybe Audrey that Matt gets to do that.
And if so, are these, who is actually making the swag? Is this just different people that can submit stuff, or
no? This is swag.
The team in Automatic are actually making the swag as well.
Yeah, and there's Jetpack swag in the same listing. It's a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of what's listed here. It's not very WordPress only. The site itself is finally on WooCommerce, which is funny. During one of the Automatic retreats, they built the swag store as one of their sprint projects on the Automatic retreat. So a team just said, hey, we need to get the swag store on WordPress because it was on Hello Merch.
Nice.
They built it in WooCommerce after Automatic acquired WooCommerce. So pretty fun. That's the swag store. There's logos. I still go there to get the official WordPress logos. Fan art is pretty funny. Just so many random links.
Fan art? Wow, I've never...
Oh, yeah, Chuck the SEO rapper is listed here with his song about WordPress.
Oh, wow.
There's a list of people with WordPress tattoos.
WordPress tattoos.
Okay. Goodness gracious, someone has photo
Somebody's
Matt.
Got a photo of Matt. Oh, my God.
A photo Matt tattoo. That's incredible. Oh, There's a WordPress powered by WordPress buttons that are the most Web 2.0 things I've ever seen.
Why is this here for ironic purposes?
it's just there, man. I love it.
It's now starting to feel like just a kind of like random 90s site of...
Yeah, it's incredible.
So I kind of feel like I should just be loads of animated GIFs on here or something.
Yep. Also under this page, there's statistics about what WordPress versions are out in use in the wild, what versions of PHP and MySQL are in use in the wild. There's a philosophy page that's very useful if you're wanting to figure out, like, why does WordPress do stuff? And then there's a roadmap that shows the historical versions of WordPress, the musicians they were named after, and the dates. I use that one all the time. Those are the most important things from that page. One page that really doesn't require a lot of description is the blog itself. So it's just where WordPress does.
I've never seen this.
You've never seen the blog?
I don't think so.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I may have like been linked to single posts.
Right. But you've never been to WordPress.org/news.
No, I never, I guess, yeah, I don't know. I always presumed these posts were on Make for some reason.
Nope. So every security release, beta release, release candidate, and then, of course, major release is published here. The term for a major release especially is it's not actually released until it's published on the WordPress blog. So I usually hold off on publishing my, like, release post until this technically goes up so that I can link to the canonical release post.
Right.
Sometimes these are good, sometimes they're not good. They've been getting better recently because for a while, either me or WP Tavern were showing up the official WordPress release posts. So I still try to make mine more in-depth or link to more technical items, but the canonical release posts are on WordPress.org. There's a funny button on here that if you press publish, there's a pop-up that says, are you sure you're ready to publish? And you have to press yes again.
Wow.
The final link on WordPress.org is the hosting link, recommended hosting. Probably the most drama-filled page on WordPress.org. Because
this is also recently changed.
Yep, it was finally changed after a couple of years of basically saying, hey, we'll update this someday. I posted a lot about this on the newsletter if people are interested in more about it. But this time around, at least, they didn't pay to be on this page or anything like that. There is a note that some of them may donate a portion of the fee to the WordPress Foundation or something like that. Bluehost and Dreamhost are multi-camp sponsors. SiteGround sponsors a lot of WordCamps as well. And then Flywheel is the fourth company on here. They're a managed
Flywheel.
Host.
I don't think I'm not sure I've even heard of them.
Yep, you've never heard of them, or
don't think so.
Oh, they're a managed host. They call it hosting for designers or something like that.
Oh,
but it's more of an entry. All of these are dedicated to be more like entry level hosts.
Okay, I see.
So it was good to see that this finally updated. There was a little bit of a lack of transparency around the process, and then there was, of course, ensuing drama around that.
Is it better now than it was? It seems like there was more information that came out as to what criteria was used and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, prior, for the last year and a half or whatever, it was like, hey, we're updating this page, and then Bluehost was the only one listed in the meantime. So these four hosts are miles ahead of just having the one there. And then prior to that, it was, I can't even remember the hosts that were on there, but it was like pretty random hosts that were there for several years. And it was pretty much an ignored page. Yet it's the first result when you Google WordPress hosting. So it's got extremely high SEO value, and inevitably being on this page is going to be a bump in sales for each of these companies. So from the community aspect, people want it to be accurate. They want it to be transparent. Inevitably though, they're Matt's picks. Like he called them in the ensuing drama that occurred around these selections. He called them an arbitrary choice, but it's an informed arbitrary choice after the host submitted a survey with a significant amount of data and whatnot. But it's not like he had to pick the top four based on those survey results or whatever. He could pick whatever he wants.
It must be, I don't know. It's a difficult thing, I guess, when you're like, whatever choice you're going to make, if you're going to make it arbitrary, you're going to be changing the amount of business people get quite significantly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a big website, and there's so much going on that anything you do on the website is going to be scrutinized. And rightfully so, when WordPress itself is a community project, it's nice when the canonical website for WordPress, there's as much transparency as possible. And most of the WordPress website, there is quite a bit of transparency, like even the development of the website is public. But in this decision, it just kind of popped up, you know? And it wasn't like, here's the description of why we did exactly what we did, and here's the process we used and all that. It was just kind of there. So that's what caused some of the issues. We can save that whole conversation for another day, maybe. The last big link is download WordPress, the big old blue button, where you go to download the latest version of WordPress. And this is probably going to change soon to Git WordPress, and then it'll have a Git WordPress landing page, like wordpress.org/git. And on that page, there's designs that are out for this. It'll have more of a pitch for WordPress of like, this is why you need WordPress, this is what you need to know. Because right now, it's just like a download button. And there are different types. This has another drop-down. Like you can go to beta releases or the nightly builds or direct subversion access. You can go to the download counter. That's on this page. So right now, WordPress 4.5 has been downloading a little over 22 million times. This updates every like 10 seconds or so. So that's a fun one to go to as a new release is coming out to see like, oh, the last version of WordPress ended up being downloaded 45 million times or whatever. This page also links to web hosting partners and get a free account on WordPress.com. You know, little signs that this is Matt's website.
I'm feeling there's quite a few little nods that's uniquely tied to automatic things.
And that's why that's partly why we wanted to do the show, because there's a lot of confusion around that. And this website, in many ways, doesn't help the confusion between WordPress.org and WordPress.com. So it makes it understandable when you see these mistakes from
It makes me kind of realize why there is confusion when I look through this, generally speaking.
You know, when you see people say Automattic, the company behind WordPress, that's not true, except for the fact that a lot of times when you're looking around WordPress, it feels that way.
Right. Or like you go, as somebody that doesn't know exactly, like you go to the swag page and see the Jetpack logo on there. It's like, oh, okay, so Jetpack is just a, you know, it's a bolt it's a WordPress on WordPress.org thing. Yeah, which obviously right. It isn't. But
And then in the footer, you know, two of the links go to WordPress.com and Matt's personal blog. So again, it does the same thing. Ooh, they have a referral attribute on the WordPress.com link. I would love to find out how many people click on WordPress.com from WordPress.org.
So they're obviously tracking it.
Yeah, they're tracking it because it's, you know, ?ref equals WP org.
Right. Right.
I would love to know that number if anybody out there wants to whisper it to me.
An anonymous tip.
Yeah. Speaking of the footer, there are also a bunch of links here. Some of them are just repeated. A couple others that are worth noting is jobs.wordpress.net is a really crappy WordPress job board that gets a bunch of junk on it.
Oh, so I think, doesn't Matt also own this though?
Yes.
Why is it on WordPress.net? Is that just always been that way? So
it's just always been that way. So it still is.
Have you ever done a job off here?
No. I've heard that they're very low quality for the most part.
Okay.
It's very free, so they're posted very free. It is free, so they're posted
so
constantly.
Everybody can post anything.
Yeah. You can post anything. The signal is pretty low, which is why I want to do a job board. Anyway, let's see. And then developer.wordpress.org, it's really the only place it's linked to is from the footer, which is kind of unfortunate. And then learn.wordpress.org is also in the footer, and that's pretty much an abandoned website.
I don't think I've even heard of that.
Yeah, the goal was to do like a, you know, a course or like some kind of guide in terms of learning WordPress. And then the ideas board is linked from here. So wordpress.org/ideas has latest ideas, most popular ideas. There are 4,500 of them and no one that's...
Oh, I remember this thing.
No one that makes decisions looks at this, I don't think.
This is just like a... a void for people with ideas and frustration to shout into.
Yeah. The most popular idea right now is adding object-oriented foundations and design patterns.
I was just looking at that.
Number two is remove legacy code to speed up WordPress.
This is a fun...
It's pretty fun to look
at. Together, drunken night, read through.
Yep. So that's pretty exciting. And then WordCamp.org, WordPress.tv, BuddyPress, and BBPress all have their own links. These are interesting projects because these are also a little confusing in terms of who owns them, who does what.
Mm.
The WordCamp trademark is owned by the WordPress Foundation. Interestingly, the BuddyPress trademark is still owned by Automattic, and then BBPress is not trademarked. So that's interesting. WordPress.tv is also Matt's website. That's where WordCamp talks, but also you can put any talk there. Anyone can submit a talk there as long as it meets their criteria. WordPress.
So does it have to have been from a WordCamp?
Yep, it can be from anything. So you can post. I've had a podcast with video that's published there, like me and Pippin just talking about something one day. That was published there from WordSesh. I think this is also undergoing a redesign. This one actually is WordPress.tv is actually, it's listed as an Automattic project. And it's this is hosted on WordPress.com now. So
I'd imagine... that may be about kind of bandwidth usages and stuff. I was thinking there must be a huge amount. Like, their video is just all self-hosted, I think, right? So
yeah,
it's a pretty big undertaking.
It's VideoPress is what they use, which is their product.
Right.
So I guess you call that self-hosted. I don't really know. But that's just another example of another huge website that's kind of, sort of under the umbrella of WordPress.org, but not really. There's a team that works on WordPress.tv, I think, or at least a person. same with WordCamp. WordCamp.org. If you go to, it goes to central.wordcamp.org. This becomes a huge multi-site that links off to like every WordCamp, has schedules and whatever.
So all of the WordCamp sites are on like part of the WordPress.org infrastructure. Is that right?
Kinda. I don't know if I'd call it part of the WordPress.org infrastructure as much as part of the WordCamp infrastructure.
Okay.
But I would say that it is run in a more WordPress.org manner because, like, WordCamp organizers, for instance, can be part of the conversations in terms of determining features for WordCamp websites. Mm-hmm. But they're a big multi-site install, so they have restrictions in terms of what plugins you can use, how easy it is to design on them, things like that.
I see.
And there are teams, both people in Automattic and community members, that influence those decisions. So I want to take a minute to thank one of our sponsors, Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms makes the best web forms on the planet. Over 1 million WordPress sites are already using Gravity Forms. Is your website using Gravity Forms? I know mine does. PostStatus is fully powered by Gravity Forms in many areas, contact forms, and I do a number of surveys with Gravity Forms. I was amazed by how good their survey extension was. You can also take money through Gravity Forms. If you have very simple e-commerce, you can accept PayPal, Stripe, things like that, straight through your Gravity Forms. There is a ridiculous amount of power behind this plugin, and I really like it. I use it all the time. Gravity Forms absolutely gets the job done. So if you have not tried Gravity Forms already, then I hope that you do. You can go to gravityforms.com to learn more about it. And you can get started with Gravity Forms for just $39, or you can do the all-encompassing license for just a couple hundred dollars. And that's the one I do use on as many sites as you want. Great plugin. It's basically the original commercial WordPress Forms plugin, and it's been doing excellent work for many, many years. So check out Gravity Forms at gravityforms.com, and thanks to Gravity Forms for being a PostStatus partner. That's the primary links you get on WordPress.org. That is not all encompassing because there are other significant pages, one that isn't linked from any primary part of WordPress, but is a huge project, is the translate.wordpress.org project.
Oh, wow. How isn't that linked anywhere?
It's, I don't know. Maybe it's linked from like Polyglot. So like if people are looking for something, it's there.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything to do with internationalization.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. When you go to all those places, it's, and I don't see where to do this. Mm. But if you go to translate.wordpress.org, this is an incredible website that has gotten a lot of work recently. And let's say if you click on Afrikaans, which is the first one, then you can translate a version of WordPress. So like WordPress 4.5 for Afrikaans has 74% progress. So when someone installs WordPress and chooses Afrikaans as their language, it will be 74% translated.
Wow.
But then you can also see a full listing of themes and plugins, as well as the WordPress.org website itself, and the apps. And so like WooCommerce, WooCommerce born in South Africa and only 3% translation into Afrikaans. But if you click on translate this project, you can literally go and translate Trunk in the WordPress.org interface. It's incredible. So translating,
wow, you can even translate the mobile apps here, I guess. Oh, they're all zero though, so maybe
well, you can,
maybe that's not true. I mean,
you can do it. You're just looking at it for Afrikaans.
Oh yeah, you're right.
If you
no one has done it. If you speak Afrikaans, you can go and
yeah, so if we pick a more popular language, like I'm trying to find some
German looks pretty
like,
popular,
like emoji.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this, actually. There's a project to translate WordPress into emoji. Though I don't quite understand, are you supposed to translate every single word like into an emoji symbol, or how does that work? I don't know.
I guess. Yeah, so WordPress...
Can you view the translation?
All of the WordPress apps are 100% translated in German, for instance. Okay. But WordPress, WordCamp.org is 99% translated in German. You know, so it's a partial thing potentially. Plugins wise, I imagine they have some of the plugins at least have pretty good translation.
I'm still looking at the the emoji translation. This is just completely, no one can understand this. The translation string for one result found, use up and down arrow keys to navigate.
I love it.
Yeah, the translation in emoji is, to me anyway, not understandable.
I love it. So yeah, the translation project is enormous. I mean, it's so much.
I'm always so impressed whenever I see this, both technically, like the website translator, and the amount of effort that goes into translating is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find if you're actually on WordPress.org.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder, I just had a crazy idea. What if you could somehow submit translations from WordPress itself for people that were using it? Maybe you'd get a lot more translations that way.
That would be pretty cool. Maybe we should propose that somehow.
Post it on wordpress.org/ideas and it can get forgotten about.
Yeah. I mentioned Track a little bit, but Track is it's a software of its own. Track is a content management system of sorts. But core.track.wordpress.org is another huge part of WordPress where, I guess WordPress development's been happening on Track for 12 years or more. Basically since the beginning, and originally patches were sent around by email amongst the people that were, wow, doing stuff, and Matt merged patches manually into the release that went on to SourceForge. but for the most part, Track is where tickets are brought up, and then that's where patches are made. There's a whole, you know, the whole Track workflow operates there. A lot of people would love to see that on GitHub. However, that's probably not going to happen. But there is an active attempt, or quasi-active attempt, to make sure that when people do stuff on GitHub, it finds its way to track automatically.
Yeah, I think I saw Ryan doing some patches for to automatically sync over pull requests or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about the WordPress.org that's enormously important is the WordPress.org API. If you go to api.wordpress.org, it is chock full of documentation. it says maybe we should fill things out here.
And nothing else.
It links to a codex page that kind of shows you what, like, the consumable stuff with the API. Nevertheless, you can get information about plugins, themes, users, all that kind of stuff. But the WordPress.org API, I guess it's kind of part of the release system too. There are a select few number of humans that manage the process of pushing out updates to WordPress installs. So all of that stuff goes through WordPress.org as well. So someone like Dion Hulse, who's a lead developer of WordPress, he can trigger the update routines that's going to put the notifications in people's WordPress dashboards. All that stuff gets pushed from WordPress.org and, you know, the updates API. But the data in WordPress itself is part of the API too. So, like, you can consume WordPress.org data and put it on your own website through the API. So there's information about it there. And I would be remiss not to mention profiles.wordpress.org. So, like, user profiles.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I don't know. Yeah, if you just go to profiles.wordpress.org, it doesn't go anywhere. But if you go to one of them individually, so if you go to Krogsgar, that's mine, or let's see what happens if you go to Matt. Yeah, so if you go to profiles.wordpress.org/Matt, that's Matt Mullenweg, and you can see his badges, things he's achieved, like speaking, releasing a theme, plugins. You can see someone's recent activity across WordPress.org, whether it's on track, whether they've been confirmed as a speaker at a WordCamp. All sorts of things are listed there. You can see their released plugins, their released themes. And then there's favorites, so you can favorite plugins, and then you can actually install all your favorite plugins on a WordPress install. So I could install
feature.
Yep. Just one of those hidden things, one of those crazy things in WordPress that you can do. But profiles is another big part of WordPress.org. And you get a profile whenever you register for the website. A lot of stuff that you do on WordPress.org is limited by the fact that you have to register. So if you don't have a WordPress.org account, you should do it. Register for one.
This will also be the profiles dot is going to be a WAUTH provider as well. Right at some point.
Yes. So Matt announced that WordPress.org itself, in some way, would be an authentication provider for the WordPress REST API. So that'll be really interesting to see how that happens and who built it and all that stuff. It's pretty confusing. So if you go to chat.wordpress.org, that's your gateway to get on Slack. I'm doing a speed round because we have to get off this podcast. And
you're coming out with all of these meta ones that I'd completely forgotten about. There's so many subdomains at WordPress.org.
Yep. The handbooks are really good, except for they're harder to get to. But there are a few different handbooks, but the makewordpress.org/core/handbook is the most thorough one. But there's also, if you go to developer.wordpress.org and click on develop plugins, then that's the plugin handbook, and there will eventually be a theme handbook. That's kind of the goal, to have a thorough handbook in terms of how to do stuff versus those codex pages in the future. Mm-hmm. That's still an active project, something people can get involved with if they're interested. And yeah, we mentioned track. There's also a meta track, which is a separate track install that's specifically for WordPress.org stuff.
I don't think I've even been to that.
It's there. You can see some of the source code. It's meta.track.wordpress.org. There's also plugin track, which is where, you know, like, all the, every time someone releases a new version of their plugin, the information goes there. I've used that one for some secret discovery to find out who's releasing something, stuff like that. Pretty interesting what happens there. I've talked a lot. The point is,
you know way more about this than me. That's why.
But that's broadly WordPress.org. There's not a whole lot that I can think of off the top of my head. Can you?
How does the search work?
Search is Google search.
Oh, interesting.
If you just search WordPress.org and listen.
Oh, yeah, it's using like the Google JavaScript I framed in kind of thing.
Yeah, so if I search for my name, then...
That's exactly what I did. That's my default search time still.
It's the Google search API, and you know it pops up with results from across the thing, so profiles and support forums and all sorts of stuff. And considering the number of properties it's trying to search, it's really the only type of search that could possibly be any good.
Yeah, that's true. For all the disparate website. Systems.
Maybe if there was a humongous Elasticsearch install, it could be better, but why not just use Google?
Yeah.
And it's actually prettier than it used to be. It used to be much more googly looking. But yeah, so the WordPress.org search actually works pretty well. Okay.
Wow.
So that is our like super duper rundown of WordPress.org. And
I feel like I've learned a lot, actually. I feel like I'll be able to actually use this a little more productively now.
Absolutely look at the show notes for this one because I saved, I think, all of the ones that I mentioned here today. So you can look directly at the show notes for that information. Joe, we have something important to talk about.
Oh dear! Is this another thing that I should know about that I don't?
No. Okay. We did not give all-encompassing thanks for people that reviewed the draft podcast last time.
Well, you missed some.
It turns out there is a different version of iTunes with different ratings for every country in the world.
So, which one were you looking at? Presumably, the US.
I was looking at the US, and I mistakenly did not look at every iTunes country in the world.
So the when I look at the rating in like the app in the podcast store, then that's only rating for my country.
That's just whatever country your iTunes is. So I clicked about 30 of the countries. I figured, you know, some countries I could guess, I could bank on not happening. But point is, if you want us to read your review, then you need to tell us you reviewed it and what your review was, because I can't do this forever.
So did we get any on other countries or not?
We did, and okay. Australia came through strong with 3 reviews.
Oh, wow.
So Jafe Thompson, who works for you, called this the absolute best source for WordPress news, period. No better way to keep up to date with what's going on with WordPress news than Post Status. The podcast is a great conversation between Brian and Joe. What a brown noser. That covers the gamut of business and technical challenges. Balanced, entertaining, and generally good listening. Jafe, you're my number one. Thank you.
For the review. It's a good review. It's so good that I'm concerned that we might get banned for bribing people to review. Yeah.
You might want to give Jafe a raise for that. Derringer called it a terrific source of WordPress information. And this is from an occasional WordPress developer, so we're not too down into the weeds. He said our podcast is a great discussion. Okay. Keeps him up with what's going on and providing insight into running a business that uses WordPress. And then CMP835 said, fantastic listening, however, aren't long enough. I think they're the only person who thinks that it's not long enough.
Well, anecdotally, I've heard from several people that this podcast is actually very good to get them to sleep when they're listening. So I'd take the positive side of that.
Amazing. Okay, one from Great Britain. I think this is also maybe a human-made employee. The username is... Cavalier O.
Oh no, it might. Yeah.
Might be
Cavalier.
I've listened to many podcasts in my time, but none better than the Post-Status Draft podcast. All hail, Ryan, the official podcast mascot. So Ryan McHugh gets a shout out even in our reviews.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a couple more ratings in the US, but I will save those for next time because I don't want to clog up everyone's time.
Don't want to peak too early.
That's right. And yeah, I think you have a call in 2 minutes, Joe, so we probably need
to... Yeah, I've already got a run, actually.
Yeah, we probably need to go, but thank you for everyone joining us on another episode of Post-Status Draft, and we hope you are more informed about WordPress.org.
All right, thanks.
Yep, have a good day.